This is Messenger Insight, a podcast program brought to you by Oklahoma Baptist and the Baptist Messenger.
Welcome to the Insight Podcast. I'm Chris Forbes, your host. Today, we have a conversation, part two in our discussion, the Next Generation Latino Ministry in Oklahoma, with Pastors Luis Ruiz, Pablo Vila, and Michelle Gonzalez. Let's join them as we continue the conversation about the Latino church in Oklahoma. How can Oklahoma Baptist be praying for Hispanic ministry?
I think that when it comes to prayer, I think that we need to definitely be praying for, you know, I think a lot of times as being young pastors, I consider myself not as young as you guys, but young in the ministry. Mm-hmm. I believe that we need to start praying for future leaders already. Mm-hmm. I know a lot of times we want to do everything and we want to call this our own, but this is all about Jesus. This is mm-hmm. not about any of us. It's not about mm-hmm. the association. This is about the work of the Lord. Mm-hmm. I think that as we begin in our ministry, I think that a lot of things have to start with great leadership. We need to start building just young, good leadership, whether it's Hispanic or Anglo or Black or Indian. It doesn't really mm-hmm. matter. It just needs to, I think we need to be praying for future leaders and for a good supporting cast for some of us who are new in the ministry. You know, I always ask the church to pray for great leaders. Great leadership. Great leadership is going to develop our future leaders. And, you know, we need to start looking at our congregation. You know, every time that somebody comes into our congregation, I'll start to look at leadership qualities. Mm. You know, I'm looking at it and I'm going, what could you do for us? What could you do for the ministry? And what do? You sing? Do you do this? Do you do that? You know, I'm always thinking of leadership positions. I think that we all, when it comes to the Baptists, what can they do for us? I think that leadership is something that we can be praying for because that's what's going to take us to the next level.
Yeah, and I think pray for future leadership, but, I mean, lift current leadership up.
That's right.
I mean, pray for the pastors. Ministry isn't easy. Mm-hmm. Every ministry minister has its things that they have to deal with, and with Hispanic ministry and mm-hmm. trying to find a way to minister to two generations that might feel lonely, the parents that can't relate to the kids, and the kids that mm-hmm. the parents can't relate to, being able to bridge that gap and to unify them with the gospel. And then, yeah, I think we should just pray that all of our members will be radical towards the gospel in all congregations.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
That the ministry really will begin in the families and in the homes and not just wait till it's Sunday and Wednesday.
Yeah.
That's a big one.
Yeah. Thanks for letting us go long, you know, we're Hispanic. But I just thought that was really important to hear from them. And I'm going to say something that I believe, and I'm going to explain myself. But I think the best thing that Oklahoma Baptist can do, and I think I'm speaking to my English-speaking white American pastors, is stop supporting Hispanic ministry.
Hmm.
Stop it. The answer to what we're talking about right now is not a Hispanic pastor, Hispanic ministry, and Hispanic service to go along with your American pastor, American service, and your American ministry. Because the last time I checked, I don't see pastors walking around with American pastor title. That honestly would be kind of silly. American pastor, worship leader, American senior pastor. So why do we think it's okay to call someone a Hispanic pastor just because they're only going to minister to this people? And as I think about that, we can no longer be doing ministry in the context of color or ethnicity. It has to be doing ministry in the context of language, doing ministry in that context and understanding that culture kind of goes behind that and the way they look kind of goes behind that. But what I would love to see as an Oklahoma Baptist and as my loving friends and my dear brothers in Christ would be, can you not just see your community, but can you see it and know it? And not just know it, understand it, and be a part of it to where your church is injecting Spanish in the DNA of who they are to where, yeah, there's a Hispanic guy that comes alongside of you, but he's not over there doing Hispanic ministry. Mm-hmm. We are doing ministry together, unified, and some of it looks like in English and some of it looks like in Spanish, mm-hmm. and that's amazing, but we are the church. We are not those Hispanic people over there and all the Americans over there. That's this whole separate thing. Why don't we come together and say, you know what, you're going to be one of our pastors. And hey, you speak English and Spanish? Amazing. You can preach in English, preach in Spanish, and let's do this together rather than you're just going to be over there in the corner doing your own thing. And that'd be my thing. It might sound a little radical, But that's...
to finish that up, I don't think some of the pastors are at that point just yet. You know what I'm saying? I don't think that there's, you know, some churches, the senior pastor, they're not ready for that just yet. I don't think that some of the churches are ready for that.
Oh, no, I know.
You know, I believe that a lot of churches want a Spanish ministry, but they're not ready to deal with it once it gets there.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
I think there's a lot of differences that go on, and I'm not so sure that a lot of pastors are willing to say, hey, Pablo, I want you to preach in English this Sunday.
I know.
They're not ready for that just yet.
Right.
They're not really ready to say, hey, you know what, this Sunday I want you to go ahead and do the preaching in English. It doesn't matter. And then if you want to have a Sunday school in English, I don't think that we're at that point just yet. Mm-hmm. I think we need to pray to get there.
I agree.
I don't think we're quite there yet. I don't think a lot of the pastors are willing to say, yeah, I'm going to go ahead and let you preach this Sunday.
Yeah.
You know, they're like, you know, you're as a Spanish minister.
Right.
So you're going to cater to the Spanish for right now. And then we'll see what happens.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's kind of where we are right now.
Yeah.
I think in a lot of churches.
Yeah. Right. And that's why the challenge is, hey, let's be a bilingual family of faith.
What are the challenges of Latino ministry? Yeah. Because like as a Anglo pastor person, you know, I'm not one, but they're really trying to meet the need of the community that surrounds them.
Mm-hmm.
But we also have this really a burgeoning second and third generation, and they're not being reached, and they're just not going to respond to what they like you said, the culture, the food, the music, and all that stuff is so different.
Mm-hmm.
It just doesn't connect with them, and you know, like Paul says, I'm all things to all men.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
But I mean, you can't be all things to all men all at the same time. You have to be something specific to this man and that man, and so I think there is relevance in having a ministry that is focused on Latino culture. I'm talking as an outsider, okay?
Go for it.
Yeah.
So, but how do we, like you said, we're in this moment, like, it's changing.
That's right. Yeah.
What do we do? How do Oklahoma Baptists position themselves to respond to this moment?
No, that's great. And man, I want to just praise the Lord for Southern Hills and just the guidance and Coral Springs and that ministry that they have positioned to where, like, when my dad was a Hispanic pastor or now that I serve as a Hispanic pastor, like, we're a member of our staff.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we're not just...
That's so good.
We're not just, the Hispanic ministry's over in that corner. But no, like, I'm a pastor and I have authority not just in the Hispanic side, but in the church. Now, just like the youth pastor can come to the Hispanic side and talk to people with authority because we voted him as a pastor of the church. It's the same idea. And I praise the Lord for Doug Melton and his intentionality. Because I think it takes intentionality to where he has given my dad opportunities and giving me opportunities to have a united service in English and Spanish and have me preach or have him preach and me translate in Spanish and we'll worship in both languages. And we'll cater to that. He's intentional enough to know the names of the Hispanic members because they're not members of the Hispanic church. They're members of the church. They just speak Spanish.
Amen.
And so I think that's where the clarification comes. Not that we don't need to have Hispanic ministries, but if we're going to have a Hispanic ministry inside of a church, an Anglo church, it's not a separate thing, but we are a church. Now, maybe there is a day where the Lord blesses that Hispanic ministry like he did with IBC and lets him be an independent church and keep planting churches. But if a Hispanic ministry is within a congregation, we need to understand that they're not a Hispanic church. We are the church. We might speak a different language. We might eat different food. And that's why we meet separately. But the biggest thing is unity doesn't happen on Sunday mornings or Wednesday nights. But having joined events, even if it's a Hispanic ministry event, inviting brothers from the Anglo side to come eat our food, to come grill and play soccer with us, or vice versa, and finding that unity throughout the week. And during Sundays and Wednesdays, we can have our studies in different languages, and we can have our lunches in different moments, as long as we understand we're still the church. We still have the common goal, and we're still brothers and sisters in Christ.
Yeah. And I love what they're... Oh.
Go ahead.
I was gonna say, I love what they're saying. And the reason I say what I'm saying about Hispanic ministry is because what I see when we say that is we have the normal ministry and everything else.
Right.
The normal ministries are English, are white, are Anglo, whatever you want to say. And anything that's not that is something else. Mm-hmm. It's ethnic, it's right. Hispanic, it's Native American. And it's like that, for me, when I hear that, it's like it's not just another ministry. It's who we are. Spanish and being Hispanic is not what we do, it's who we are. Mm-hmm. And so as a church, if again, the argument is if our cities and if our families and if all of these things can be bilingual and exist in a bilingual space together, so can the church. And now we see that and how that looks like in different ways. Mm-hmm. But again, the argument is if you're going to call this a Hispanic ministry, well, you need to call that an American ministry. Mm-hmm. And I say that and you're like, Misa, but that's just weird. That's awkward. It's like, okay, well, that's how I feel. And it's what I see when it comes to Hispanic ministry, because it continues to cause that divide. Mm-hmm. Because if we were to just do ministry in the context of language, doing it together, then, for instance, instead of having, and again, these are different philosophical things we could talk about, but if you were to use one space as a worship center, and at 1 hour you have those who speak English do the service in English, and at 1 hour you have those who speak Spanish do the whole service in Spanish, then it doesn't become their space and our space, the Hispanic space and the American space. Now it becomes our space. And so there's a lot of those implications of what kind of language are we using or what kind of labels are we using that are actually unintentionally separating rather than unifying.
Right. I'm in a very unique situation at the place where I'm at. You're familiar with Shields Boulevard, mm-hmm. and you're familiar with Gary Boswick.
My uncle lives down the street.
Right. So our situation is a little bit different than everybody else. And again, these are things that as I'm growing in the ministry, I'm starting to understand. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm a business guy outside of the ministry. I'm a bivocational pastor, so I have my own business outside of the ministry. So the business aspect, I understand it. One of the things that is very unique to us is that, you know, we are in a situation where the Anglo congregation is an older congregation. It's not a young 25, 26. You're mm-hmm. talking 60 plus. All of the members of the Anglo congregation mm-hmm. are 60 years or more. Mm-hmm. What happened in our situation was Pastor Gary Boswick was very adamant. He's very, you know, he was all for the Spanish ministry. But when the Spanish ministry came to the church, a lot of the people were just not ready for the cultural mm-hmm. difference. Mm-hmm. Now we have children, now we have noise, now we have this, now we have that. Mm-hmm. So, sometimes that's what separates us into two different things. Yeah. You see what I'm saying?
It's a learning process.
We're having to educate mm-hmm. their congregation of who we are.
Yeah.
You know, we're having to do a lot of training with them. We're having to really lock arms, so to speak, with them and say, hey, listen, this is what we do a little bit different. Mm-hmm. You know, again, being Spanish pastors, our Bible studies are not necessarily 30 minutes long.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You know, ours are a little
bit more. Our podcasts aren't either.
we're more into, you know, we did a Bible study yesterday, and, you know, and at first this was an issue, you know, and these are growing pains that we're having to deal with, and we embrace them. Mm-hmm. We they're starting to understand us a little bit more. On our Wednesday nights, we have a very unique thing that we do in our church. The Spanish, we don't even call it the Spanish church. Mm-hmm. Me and my wife do the cooking on Wednesdays, and we all get together and we eat together as one church because we're ultimately one church.
Mm. Yeah,
and we share the same sanctuary when we preach.
Beautiful.
Yeah, we don't separate the building. There's no such thing as the Spanish area. Everything is the church for everybody. Mm-hmm. The only thing that separates it sometimes is the cultural difference. Mm-hmm. So yesterday we had, you know, we had burritos and people love the Spanish food and, you know, and we right there, we break off into the English speaking.
Logically,
you know, into the Spanish Bible study.
Yeah.
Their Bible study is over at 7:30. Our Bible study is over at 8:15.
Yeah.
You see what I'm saying? Yeah. They're learning this about us. They're learning this about us that, you know, some of these things are not they're more formatted, you know, which I think some of those things I really like. I wish we were a little bit more to the time.
Yeah. My grandpa said that's the one thing that Americans got right is that they're always on time.
Always on time. Yeah. You know, for us, we say, hey, service starts at 12:30. 12:45, people are waving at you from hey, I'm here. And I'm like, 12:30, you know. So, and then, so, you know, a lot of things, I think that in our situation is working out really well just because of the fact that we're learning some things from them as they're learning some things from us. They are learning that we are a little bit different as a culture. You know, our kids are important to us. You know, sometimes we don't want to break off from our kids or our services sometimes are a little bit more noisier than theirs. Right. Yeah. You know, we have kids running around and we have to deal with all these different things that they're not so, they're not used to this kind of thing. Yeah. So I think that, you know, for us, we're learning how to deal with the cultural difference.
And isn't that fascinating? Because you'll have churches, and us Baptists are really good at going on mission. And you'll have churches that are, they Anglo-American, go to Mexico, and they become best friends and family with people in Mexico or Spain through a translator. And it just blows my mind because it's like, okay, if that can happen there, why is it not happening here? And I just think about it and I'm like, wow. So there is a lot of learning to do.
I think there's a lot of learning curve when you have two different types of ministries. The thing that we share, that, you know, we always talk about this, and Pablo share, we have one common goal.
That's right.
You know, and so that's what unites us to begin with. Yeah. It's up to us to be able to work through those differences. I think that, you know, the more that we push to have this integrated ministries, I think the more, see, we always talk about the white folks having to learn us.
Mm-hmm.
We also have to learn y'all.
That's right.
You know, we have to learn y'all. There's always, it works both ways.
Yeah.
You know, we can't come in there and just do what we're always used to doing.
Yes.
You know, and I the thing that we come away with is a lot of structure. You know, I appreciate the structure that the Anglo Church has at our place. And, you know, and they appreciate our excitement, our enthusiasm, our, you know, our go-get attitude. And it's motivating both sides. But, you know, I tell our members, I said, guys, we have to learn them also.
Correct.
They don't always have to learn us.
Correct.
We have to learn who they are too.
Correct.
What makes them go and how can they apply that to helping us grow?
Correct.
Because this is a joint venture.
That's right.
I agree. You know, one thing I think we all can learn together, and then I think you have something to say.
Yeah,
I
want
to say
it,
is how to share resources together.
Yeah.
Because that's the danger of having Hispanic ministry where it's like, oh, well, you guys use your resources instead of, hey, this is our resources. Now, I think you guys have the beauty of being able to say, no, this is our resources. But that's the danger of saying, no, this is our graphics team. Oh, no, this is our worship pastor. No, this is our. And it's like, no, if we're the same church, if we're going to say we're one church in two languages, then we're going to share the same resources. That same video guy that made that awesome video for us is going to make an awesome video for you. That person that trains all these people will be the same person that trains these people. And so it's like, let's make sure we learn from each other how to share the same resources, same personnel, because we share the same values, we share the same Lord.
Same mission.
That's same right. mission.
Well, and like, and I think that's so beautiful what you were saying. We both have to learn because we live in a world of extremes.
Yes.
And that translates to a church, especially with a church with a different language ministry. Or a different cultural ministry within it, to where we're either complete extremes, to where we ignore the need for a different ministry, or we separate ourselves so much that there's no unity amongst the ministries. But even on, like, whose responsibility is it to bring unity? Because there's a lot of times that, like, as a Hispanic ministry, like, we think, well, they need to come here and get to know us, instead of us saying, well, no, I got to get out there and get... I can't walk through those hallways and look at this sea of people and not know five of them. Now, it's both ways. Neither side should say, no, they need to come get to know me, but it takes that intentionality. Like you were saying, like, they can be best friends in a mission trip, but that's because it's both ways. Like, the people in Mexico are excited that you're coming to them, and you're excited to go to them. It's the same in the church. We should both be excited to come to the middle and learn and just grow in that way.
I think that a lot of times, you know, I don't know if you guys, the media plays a big factor, too, on how we expect people to... to know us. Yeah. We always want them to know us, but we don't take the time
correct
to know the other
yes
side.
Yeah.
You know, I think a lot of times when we get into these new ministries with the church, we're always saying, well, they don't understand us. So the question should be, how well do we understand mm-hmm them?
That's right. Mm-hmm.
You know, how much are we really spending time with our American pastors mm-hmm and saying, what is your vision? Mm-hmm. What is it that you're trying to do here?
Correct.
That's right.
How can I implement this? How can I be of help to implement this plan?
That's right.
Now, let me tell you what my vision is as a Spanish pastor.
Yeah.
I want to tell you what we want to do in this neighborhood. How can your congregation help us get there? See, a lot of times I think we get caught up in this whole, you know, they don't understand us. And I think sometimes we need to step back and say, hey, do we really understand the mission here?
That's right.
Are we really in a joint mission?
Yeah.
Are we both looking at the same goal?
Yeah.
Or do we have separate goals? Because I believe that if the goal is not the same, you're always going to have separation.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
I don't care what, mm-hmm, I don't care how many times you sit at the round table and eat together. I don't care how many times they go to your kids' birthday parties. Mm-hmm. If your goal is not their goal and if their goal is not your goal,
mm-hmm, that's right,
you're never going to come to an agreement on anything because you're going to be driving in opposite directions. Yeah. Mm-hmm. You know.
Because at the end of the day, it's about communicating the greatest message in the world the greatest king in the world in a way that people can understand.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Like, that's the beauty. At the end of the day, we have the same goal. The importance of Hispanic ministry is that the objectives or the application through which we come about that goal is different.
Right.
So that ministry is still important. The second and third generation are out there to be reached, and we all have that same goal. We're just going to apply it differently sometimes through different languages and through different practices.
We've covered a lot. Is there anything else we need to cover?
You got another hour in you? Yeah. Oh, we're good.
I am curious, and I don't know how long we have for this, but I mean, I hear a lot because you're in your position. You are in a Anglo mother church or the term is, and but what about the pastor who's the Spanish only church? He's the first generation church, and they have their own building, and they still have generational needs.
That's right.
Are there any things that need to be discussed here before we conclude what a first generation pastors, what would be good things for them to consider right now?
I think we'd have to answer that in Spanish.
That's fair. I was going to say, just what Luis was saying earlier, the emphasis on the next generation leadership. Because that first generation pastor is going to be able to disciple a second generation member that speaks Spanish and English. And man, put that guy in a position of leadership over the youth and over some of the members that might not speak as much Spanish. But the Lord blesses us with resources inside of our own church. But it takes intentionality and effort to disciple and train the men in our church that can facilitate those needs that we can't. Because we as pastors can't facilitate every need in the church. We'll never be able to.
Right,
And so our job will always be able to train those faithful men.
Yeah.
And in that first generation church, train those men that can facilitate to the next second generation. And those men will train the third generation. And the third generation will train the fourth.
Yeah.
And we'll just keep going that way.
And I think you're seeing an application of that by us two. Because I think us two grew up in a first generation church.
Yeah.
Yep.
And it was your dad and my grandpa that discipled us, trained us, and eventually we were called by the ministry because of God.
That's right.
But I think you're seeing an application of what do first generation pastors need to do. And I'm not saying that we're golden child or children at all, but it's more of, I thank the Lord that we are a product of that discipleship, of that training, of now the Lord is allowing us to be on this podcast, which is crazy, and talking about these things in English while at the same time we could turn around and do this again for another hour in Spanish.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I would have a little trouble myself, but I could follow along for sure.
Yeah. What I would say to those pastors who are, I think they're in an excellent, awesome position. I think they're in a very desirable position to be able to have the first generation and then have their kids follow along. I think that, some of these pastors could go out and get some training themselves and maybe become more proficient in English. And if not, I mean, if you have a family who has been faithful to you and you have raised these second and third generations to be followers of the gospel, you have sowed a good seed. You know, now you're reaping the benefits of this of sowing that you did.
Yeah.
What an awesome opportunity to be able to just go look into your congregation and start plucking and preparing future leaders and then branching out these future leaders and having the confidence, as Paul had in Timothy, to be able to put them in a position and say, hey, listen, this is what the next generation is going to do without neglecting the first generation.
Correct.
I think, you know, as pastors, you know, if you have built this great, you know, first generation church, and now you have the opportunity to start branching out. Mm-hmm. I think that's what the gospel is about.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
We are to advance the gospel. Yeah. That's what we're supposed to do. And you know, and you know, I what a great opportunity to me. That's the prime opportunity you want to be. And I think as a pastor, that is where you start really, you should be really just be thinking about, wow, what an opportunity. Look at all the all the laborers who are ready, and you know, and put them to work, man. I mean, you know, and you know, I like to think that sometimes numbers is important. Mm-hmm. I think souls are important, you know. Mm-hmm. Souls are the most important thing. It's not about numbers. It's not about, you know, start branching out, start putting these people to work, because ultimately, you know, this is what the gospel is about.
Yeah.
You know, our Baptist mission is to what? To advance the gospel.
Amen.
And what a way to do it than, building futures, pastors, future leaders.
We need more leaders.
We need more. Women, you know, I think that are sometimes, you know, our women need to be more excited about, you know, being future leaders in the gospel too.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and so there's a lot of work to be done, and what a blessing to be in that position.
Yeah.
Very good, gentlemen. Thank you so much for this lively discussion. We learned a lot of things and a lot of things to consider. And I'm really excited about the future, just thinking of this generation that's coming up with a passion for the gospel. If they catch the gospel message, it truly will advance, and it would truly permeate throughout Oklahoma. There's that big part of our community that could really carry the day.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, God bless you. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you, man.
God bless you guys.
And thank you for joining us. If you enjoyed this discussion, we have more just like it at our website at baptistmessenger.com, or you can look for our podcast. Just search for Baptist Messenger wherever you download podcasts. And while you're at baptistmessenger.com, consider subscribing to our print newspaper. It's free, and you can get it for yourself or your church members. Thank you. God bless.
This Messenger Insight has been brought to you by the Cooperative Program and Oklahoma Baptists. Visit us at baptistmessenger.com or your preferred podcast platform. Oklahoma Baptists, advancing the gospel together.